I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the final Don't You Know Who I Am for this season, the quiz show where we find out who knows whom, who knows what, because, well, we still don't know why. Joining me this week are four very good people, so let's meet them now. Our first guest is a comedian, a podcaster, a Star Wars fan, but if you type his name into YouTube, the first thing that comes up is a video of him almost breaking his ankle while skateboarding. It is Green Guide Letter Lover, Steel Saunders.
Hey, you guys. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Please don't give that YouTube clip any views.
It's only 30 seconds of your day, or apart from typing in Steel Saunders, but that's all it is.
Well, it's great to be back again for the first time, Josh.
Yeah, Steel's been in before. That episode was not up for putting on because I fucked up. Okay, our next guest is an actor, a comedian, a radio personality, although according to Wikipedia, he quit all of that in April 2011 to become a tram driver. Please welcome, I'm guessing, tram driver Dave Lawson.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me again.
Yes, Dave's coming again as well. They haven't been in together, though. Steel and Dave have not met until today.
No,
and,
how many of these things have you botched?
There's four that didn't work. One of them was with Josh Thomas and Hannah Gadsby and Cal Wilson, couldn't afford
some
them
small
again.
Names.
So,
I'm just curious, did you not press record? Is it as simple as that?
What it was it recorded, but it was just really staticky.
Oh.
And so I could have put it out and just have people online just go, oh, this is shit, I can't understand what they're saying, and me having to go, hey, it's a free podcast.
That could have been me that time because I was just doing this.
I do like that even with your fails that you name drop. That's very
yes. Well done. Thanks. Well, it's just the guest they could have been listening to.
Instead of us.
Instead of they got Dilrock J. Sinner.
Sorry, yeah, guys. Sorry for talking into the microphone correctly. very disappointing.
Our next guest is a comedian, a writer, a DJ who shares his name with a commercial lawyer and a doctor. His parents must be so proud. It's comedian Andrew McClelland.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Did you know that you share your name with a lawyer?
Yes, indeed. And I believe a right-wing, let's call a spade, a neo-Nazi in America.
Yes.
Who, not so much a heart of gold, but certainly fists of steel.
Well, he's not on LinkedIn, so I couldn't find him. I found the other ones through LinkedIn.
Well, see, that's why they're becoming less successful, happily. Good.
Andrew, is the other Andrew McClelland, the lawyer, your lawyer? Because that would be really confusing in a court of law, and I think you'd probably win the case.
Actually, he's my father. Okay. So no, that would be good, though.
Yeah.
McClelland and McClelland.
Yeah. Did you agree to share names out of court?
yes, indeed. And chromosomes.
And finally, is a musician, a writer, an ex-breakfaster on Triple R, but when you type his name into Google, it asks if you meant the Ben Birchall Championship. Please welcome Ben Birchall.
Thank you.
Is that you? Are you the Ben Birchall Championship?
I don't know what that is, but I can make something up.
No, it just comes up.
What it is there's a sidecar racer.
Oh.
I didn't know what sidecar racing was I realised there's a brother team, Tom and Ben Birchall, and one of them rides the motorbike and the other one sits in the sidecar. And I think that's what it refers to. So there's that, and then there's a photographer in the UK, and our whose name's Ben Birchall as well, and our careers were kind of like ascending, you know, at the same time. But then I think he took some photos of Prince Charles, and he just went ballistic.
But you got in first on Twitter. You are straight Ben Birchall.
I beat him.
Yeah. Because nice, so the sidecar racing.
Mm.
Yeah, what's the job of the other one?
I think
in the sidecar,
like,
do they just have to be as light as possible?
Yeah, right. and like knowing when to lean and all that kind of stuff, because
just riding around.
You'd know as a tram driver.
I saw it once. Sidecar racing, it's stupid.
It was invented so Siamese twins could enjoy motorsport.
Oh, good.
Side by side,
inclusive.
So let's get back to the tram driver as well. Yeah. So you said that you quit comedy.
No, well, I've never touched my Wikipedia page, so someone else keeps putting this stuff up, and I thought rather than changing it, maybe I could become it, the page.
Mm.
So people just started putting up really weird things about tram driving and... Like, I've never done stand-up comedy. It says I'm a regular on the stand-up comedy circuit. I've never done it.
Your name is on bills all the time, though. It's frankly, it's becoming frustrating.
Never even turned up once to a gig. And, yeah, so I don't know where... And it says I'm Henry Lawson's great-grandson.
Mm. That's not true.
That's not true. Oh. And it's really disappointing for people when they go, oh, I just found out something about you. What? And they're really impressed.
But what's weirder, the fact that somebody updates your Wikipedia page and it's inaccurate... Yeah. Or somebody who updates my Wikipedia page and it's accurate.
Okay. Our first game tonight is called Social Me Media. In this game, I read out a status update from one of you and you have to buzz in and tell me whose you think it is. If you guess correctly, you get a point, but if you're incorrect, the person whose status it is receives the point. So you cannot buzz in for your own, so you have your poker faces on. Mm. Your names are your buzzers. So the first one, here we go. I've been working on an idea. 4 minute noodles. The honest noodle.
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
I'm going to go Dave Lawson because he has ideas and usually they involve food.
Mm. That is correct. It was Ben Lawson. Yes. Well done.
What flavours would the 4 minute noodle go?
They're just regular flavours, but they never take 3 minutes. I've always tried it. Never takes 3 minutes. And I actually, for a minute there, Poe, who was on MasterChef, I had her on board to be the face of the 4 minute noodle.
Ooh.
I didn't get much further down the development stage and so just was repackaging this, 3 minute noodles.
Was this when you and Poe were in It's a Date together?
Yeah.
So you spent the whole time
saying, how about it? Yeah. It's not a bad idea. But I think it's just an honest noodle because has it ever taken 3 minutes? Unless you have it, what, al dente? Is that what it's called? When it's...
Yeah. Well, to be candid, and I like to be candid, I cook my 2 minute noodles for 1.5 minutes.
Why?
And that's when they're al dente. They're chewy, they're delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really got something. You throw them at the wall, make sure they stick.
Do you have them as a soup or do you...
Oh, no. Dry. I'm no fool.
I think you should always complain about a product that costs 40 cents.
Yeah, well.
Sherby's.
What I want to know is when do people put their sachet in, their satchel of flavour?
Good. Yeah. Oh, I've got a theory.
Okay.
Half point.
Oh, no. Yeah.
With all the water in there?
Yep.
No. Dilutes it a bit too much.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, too diluted. But do you have it as a soup? That's the other thing.
Oh, no. I get rid of that broth.
Oh, I'm glad
to
hear.
I've got no time for broth.
Well, you know, you can double the concentrated flavour power by putting it in. Once you've dried the noodles, just put it in the bowl and mix it in when they're still a bit moist. There we go. We all know it, except you.
It's just all MSG.
Maybe I'm not ready for that amount of chicken. Do you know what I mean? I just want a little bit.
Well, you can do
there's no chicken.
Half pack while it's boiling. Half a sachet, which just gives the water a bit of flavour. So it infuses into the noodle and then use the rest at the end if you don't want a fuller flavour.
That's how I do it. Yeah. That's my
way. We need a cooking show.
2 minute noodles, now as complicated as roast lamb.
But also just to bring up one more point, Steele, and I know we want to get off this, but Ben, I noticed you look towards me when Steele said the flavour sachet chicken. Mm. And I mean, how long has it been since you had... I assume you're on the 5 sachet?
I don't know the last time I actually had
2 minute noodles.
2 minute noodles.
God damn it! That's why you have the body of an Adonis.
5 sachets in a pack. In a...
Yeah, you know those ones, the Mega Ring ones. I got 5 sachets.
Yeah. They are the ones that I go.
And
because and then they've got the chili, and then they've got the ketchup.
A little bit of oil that you don't know
when that's going. It's all good.
I could listen to Andrew say sachet all day. One more time.
Well, perhaps I'll sachet down the promenade. Open up a sachet and speak to my good friend Sasha.
Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't think of any others.
Tweet 2. Just accidentally invented the word malve. Can somebody please ascribe it a meaning?
Steele.
Yes, Steele.
I'm going to go with Andrew McKinnon.
It was not Andrew. It was Ben Birchall.
Wow.
But
do I get points?
What is malve?
No, Ben gets a point.
Yeah, people did describe it meaning malve. I can't remember what... I'm sure they said good things.
Oh, you didn't know what it meant.
It was a typo, and I went malve. That feels like it should have been a word.
You know what I thought it was? I thought you were playing Scrabble because like V's 4 points, M's 3.
Yeah.
That's malve. That'll be fine.
Yeah,
but M's 3.
No, it was literally a typo, and I went, no, that feels like it should be
like
a word.
Sounds like an opening of some sort. Mm. Some sort of opening.
Yeah.
All right. So got out my knife and created the malve deep within the bullock's flesh.
An extra opening. I think it's an extra, creating an extra opening in your body.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
In the man. A male.
In a male opening. Body.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Cosmetic malving.
An extra male opening.
I don't know what it is, but I know I don't want mine infected.
You don't want an infected malve.
Oh, no.
Oh, please. No.
Okay, tweet 3. Whenever I see an open video rental shop, I want to both applaud them for hanging on and tell them that it's okay. They can let go now.
Steel.
Yes, Steel.
I go with Andrew McQuinnon.
You are correct. It is Andy, yes.
Well done, you. You know my taste in the videos.
Huge beta man, Andrew McQuinnon.
Can't get enough. Well, I call it beta to the max. I haven't been able to do that joke in 20 years.
Interesting use of the word joke.
I'm with you with the whole seeing an open video store. I always think it's a front for something. They cannot be surviving anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like that with...
Hydroponics out the back, definitely.
Yeah.
In Brunswick Street in Melbourne, there's a raver shop that
Ministry
still sells...
Ministry of Style.
Yes.
Yeah, that's been open since 89 or so. When it,
I understand, Dan, but how is it still going? What are they selling that's keeping... Because that's a pretty expensive bit of real estate right there.
Mm. Yeah.
How are they doing
two shop fronts.
Yeah.
And who's going to raves?
And if they are, no one's wearing that. No one's wearing the big raver pants anymore.
Yeah, right. The fluffy socks.
Selling Eckies or something.
I can fuel your conspiracy theory.
Oh, yes.
There's a extreme sports small clothing company on a certain peninsula in a certain country, and it is literally a front for...
Oh, it is.
Operations. Oh. So much so that my friend bought a sweater there once because he was desperate for a hoodie or whatever, and had a pocket full of ecstasy tablets.
Was he just trying to buy a pocket full of sweater fun. Though? And were they like really confused? Like in the Goonies when they go into that restaurant and they're like, "We want some water," and they're like, "Oh, oh, oh." Yeah. Like they're like, "Oh, we don't actually have any sweaters here at this clothing store."
Well, they had one, and apparently it had been used last night's drug distribution and then put back on the racks.
Yeah.
What a thrifty drug dealer.
And we'll be sharing the address of that off air.
I reckon, though, there's a lot of kebab car washes around, which seem a bit...
Yeah.
Fishy. It's so difficult to wash a car with a kebab.
Yeah, I know. Kebabs and car washes.
The other shop, I think, it's been on the corner of Johnson Street and Hoddle Street for a while. It's a waterbed shop that's... got one very weird waterbed in the window, and it just looks like...
I can tell you exactly what's going on there, because I know.
Oh. Here we go.
I've spent many an afternoon in that waterbed shop. Okay. That was me doing the bunny fingers.
Yeah, we could hear them.
Good. It's actually... it was a waterbed shop once upon a time, but then it was hired out by actors, and now it's sort of used as a studio... But a certain friend of mine went through an amicable... No, what's the opposite of amicable? Disamicable. An unfortunate divorce. Mm. And now...
Or the opposite of that is just not use the word amicable. Just say, went through a divorce.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And people think, perfectly... I know.
They agreed to hate each other.
They agreed to hate each other. It was perfectly done. And he now lives in the back room, which I believe officially no one is allowed to. So we didn't say where that waterbed shop was, did we?
I said the corner it's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Okay, question 4. Grow up. Who tweeted, grow up.
Oh, Andrew.
Andrew, yes.
I'm just going to guess because I don't think he's done one yet. Still!
It was Ben Burchell.
Last thing I would tweet.
Yeah. That's really
I was actually looking around like, who's the arsehole that tweeted
that? That's really confrontational. What was the...
Well, you tweeted context. That you're eating at a place called Wang Wang's before, and then the next one after that was just grow up.
Yeah.
Wang Wang's.
Wang Wang's. Yeah.
Where is Wang?
Because you always go, it's in Coburg.
Oh, okay,
it's in the car park of the... what we affectionately call the ghost Coles.
Yep.
There's two Coles in Coburg, just to the north of Melbourne. And one is the real Coles, and the other is was a buy-low. And rather than let another chain buy it, Coles have put another Coles in there. And there's never anyone there. It's great. It's like there's always like one teller on, or cashier, or whatever you call them. And
check out chap.
No one ever there.
It's a front.
For waterbeds.
And actual extreme sports gear.
Just quickly, what cuisine do they serve at Wang Wang?
Oh, it's dumplings. It's a
I swear to God, the day that I don't walk past in the city the come down and I don't giggle is the day I die.
Still,
it's just like
grow up.
I was once having a delicious meal at come down.
It's awesome.
With a group of friends, and I was dressed up down. I like to dress up sometimes, wear a three-piece suit and that sort of thing.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm disappointed that you're not right now.
Sorry, I'll put my snuff box away. Anyway, sometimes, yeah, so, and the waiter there was saying to all my friends who were gathered around, he's going, look at this guy, looks like a dandy, look at him, what sort of a, and then he started throwing homosexual slurs in my direction, but it was just going, what are you, this is in front of my friends, they're my supporters, you leave me alone.
In the safety of the cum den.
Exactly, in the cum den, that's what I couldn't believe.
It's the last place you expect those sort of slurs.
This was the owner of the place.
Oh, one of the waiters? I don't know. Either way, he was a confident fellow.
Trying to lure you in there and go, we got one.
I don't know.
Okay, question five. Watching the new animated version of Bananas in Pyjamas, were they always dickheads? Who said that? Were they always...
Andrew.
Yes, Andrew.
Steele.
It was not Steele. It was Dave Lawson.
Yeah.
Point for Dave.
They are dickheads.
Oh, totally. Yep.
This guy, what do you... Don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, they're just
teddy
bananas.
Bears. Don't even ask them to do that.
How smart do you expect bananas to be?
No, but they're bad role models for children. Whoa.
And fruit.
Do you have fruit?
You don't think they should have made it through the ABC cuts?
Well,
then?
I think the big suit ones, were fine. I don't think they were so stupid.
But the animated
ones, you just go, come on.
Next question. Hey, Channel 10, your comeback starts and ends with Breakdancing with the Stars. And before you ask, yes, I'm free to host. Who said that?
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
I'm going to go Andrew.
It was Still Saunders. Oh,
thank you.
You're scared to buzz in.
Don't be scared.
Almost tried
if I didn't write that, I would have guessed it was you, Josh.
Yeah. I'd be good. I'd like it.
No, but I stand by that. Breakdancing with the Stars would be terrific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who doesn't want to see Sandra Sully do the caterpillar? It'd be gold. And, you know, it's a dangerous sport, so you could get Andrew Bolt doing it.
Would you do it?
It'd be wonderful.
Would you? If someone said, I'm doing Breakdance with the Stars as a contestant, would you do it?
Josh, I do two podcasts. I'll do anything.
Right. Let's consider that Steele's most famous YouTube video is one of him nearly breaking his ankle.
Yeah.
Of course you get into it.
Would you do it, Andy? Would you do a Dancing with the Stars type show?
Yeah. As long as I could pick the music and pick my dance style. I will not be dictated to on a dance floor.
I think you'd be very good. You got other guys?
Yeah, I would definitely.
It's kind of like Footloose Part 3.
I don't think I'd do a dancing one.
A dancing one? Would you do a diving one from platforms?
No, definitely not.
Not that one?
Nah, couldn't do the... Oh, standing
about,
there in your togs...
On ice.
Ice, yeah. Well, I'd need ice to do all of those. It'd be fine.
All right, here we go. Next one. I feel sorry for fedoras. They can't control who's under them.
Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Andrew.
It was Andrew. Yes, you're right.
I'm not getting any points.
I actually thought that was someone else being mean about Andrew.
I'm really much more of a Trilby man, I assure you.
Because what's the difference between a Trilby and a fedora?
Peak brim.
Peak brim.
I made that up. I don't know.
Peak brim.
But if you're going to believe anyone on it,
I don't wear no hat with this hair. I'm going bald in 2 years. I've got to retain it while I can.
No, you got good hair.
Oh, thank you. Then my mother told me I was going bald 2 days ago.
Really? 2 days ago?
Yeah. She said, you got lovely hair. It's a shame it's all gone.
I thought she would have told you that years ago.
No.
Aren't you supposed to look along your family line? Isn't it your mum's side?
That's what they say. Is that really true, though?
Is your mum bald?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. My auntie was, so...
And you're not?
Everyone was.
You're not? Everyone in this room has a full head of hair. Yeah, can I just say that for the listener?
For now.
Yeah, just picture it.
Okay, here we go. Question 8. Complaining online about people lining up for a phone does seem like a way better use of time.
Andrew.
Yes, Andrew.
Still?
You are correct.
Yes!
Everyone is off the mark now. That's good. So this was tweeted around the time of the new iPhone 6.
Yeah, and I just... If people are excited enough to get a phone... Like, why do you have to...
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand people that crush excitement that doesn't affect anyone else. Like, if you're, like, got your face painted going to a Kiss concert and you're not punching anyone on the way there, fine, enjoy your Kiss. Yeah, but if you're lining up for a phone...
Isn't it the ultimate iteration of the filthy society that we live in that we value a phone over the time with our family and loved ones and friends?
But I like
would those people really be spending that time?
But in the line, it's a social event.
It's communal.
Like you meet people.
Yeah.
Like
have you lined up for anything?
Before? I've lined up for many things. Like, I'm a nerd. I can't wait to line up for things.
Did you line up to have Faith No More sign your album the real thing in at the Virgin Megastore in 1992. I didn't.
No, I definitely didn't.
Nah. No way. It was Angel Dust.
One day I'm going to stand behind a politician on television and I am going to be a bit weird.
Dave.
Yes, Dave?
Iron Steel.
It's not Steel. It's Ben Burchell.
What?
Ben's going to be a bit weird behind a politician.
You going to pull it out?
I do not remember tweeting that. How far back did you go for this one?
That was the last federal election.
Okay.
So I'm guessing you were having a joke about Tony Abbott's daughters or
probably
someone
someone
like
standing there being a bit weird.
They are always very weird.
It is especially fun watching the people in the background.
The teenage sons behind them that are always, because they're just gawky anyway.
Mm.
And then it's just them going, oh, I don't know what I'm meant to do here. Dad's a liberal.
That'd be great to see on TV. It's like, is that guy behind Tony Abbott shaking around a signed Faith No More album?
Yeah. Okay, our final one. Getting an out-of-office reply from someone who just emailed you is like getting rejected by someone you weren't trying to hit on. Who
Ben.
Said that? Yes, Ben.
Andrew.
You are correct, Ben. It is Andrew. Well,
I was going to say Steele, but Steele started to answer. So.
Oh, Steele, you gave it away!
And I was going to guess wrong, so sweet save.
At the end of the round, the scores are Andrew on one, Steele on two, Dave on two, but way out in front is Ben Burchell on 5 points.
Oh,
I told you I was here to win.
This round is called Yearbook, as Flavor Flav would say, but it's Yearbook. In this round, we go back in time to the days of the old schoolyard. We used to laugh a lot. Today, we're going back to little Dave Lawson, where he attended a sleepover at Sean Keegan's house.
Keego.
But while at the party, what trouble did Dave get into? Was it A, trying to get a laugh out of the other guys at the party? When Dave's dad came to pick him up, he fully dacked him in front of everyone. Was it B?
Wait, so fully dacked his own
fully
dad?
Dacked who? Fully dacked his dad.
Dacked your own dad.
Oh my gosh.
Was it B, having too much fun and forgetting to go to the toilet, he wet himself? Or was it C, he got caught showing his penis to Sean's older sister in her room? Now, you can ask him as many questions as you want. Mm-hmm. He can answer, but bear in mind, he wants to get the points. For every person who answers incorrectly, Dave gets a point.
Only one of them is right, but all three are pretty close.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, I've got one question. Why in the world would you want to see your father's penis?
Yeah. What do you mean? Everyone's seen it. You know, it's not like a thing.
Everyone's seen your father's penis.
No, you see your dad's. Everyone's seen their dad's, haven't they?
Yeah.
You've seen it? Haven't seen it? Never saw your dad's?
No.
I reckon.
No, no. I don't think so.
What do you
not.
Mean? Just didn't go for the shower to the... What?
What?
No. Sort of, what? Dad's what? Your dad's
yeah.
No clothes on.
My son's seen mine.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's not like a thing. He wasn't like showing me, but I was just like, oh. What?
But you showed everyone according to.
According to I showed. Pulled it down and said, check it out.
God, I think we're different lifestyles.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think it was,
This suddenly got a bit deep and
no, it wasn't deep.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like Mark Maron. Here
you go. No, it's not.
It's not weird, no.
Everyone was talking about the dad's bits at the party, and I said, all right, well...
How old were you all at that time?
Yeah, 17, 18.
Right, so just classic teenage combo. Tell us about your dad.
No. It was... So Sean was around... He was only around for 2 years of my life, but it felt like a lot longer because we were very quite good friends.
Lies.
No, that's not lies. That's not lies. So he left... It was from grade 3 to probably grade 5 or 6. So what's that, about 8 to 11 sort of thing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
How much older was Sean's older sister?
She was actually younger.
Okay.
Oh. How much younger?
How much younger?
She was 2 years younger, I think. Yeah, 2 years younger than us.
That sentence could have gone either way.
Yeah, 2 years younger. She was 2 years younger.
All right.
What did I do to her?
Good bluffing.
Well, yeah.
What did I do?
Why are we all pretending that he didn't just wet his pants?
I mean, can we just... Yeah, that's true.
He wet his pants. I'm going with B. He wet his pants. I'm sorry.
You're
going
to lock in B
already?
I'm
locking in B.
Anyone want to ask more questions?
Why'd you wet your pants?
I was having too much fun.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's it. You were laughing up a storm.
What does that mean, too much fun?
Didn't wet the pants. Didn't just wet my pants. I was half... Piss all over the floor.
All right, so it was intentional.
No.
At age, you're sort of going, 10.
Oh, I got this is good. I can't, from memory, he had like a computer game with, there was a game on it called Test Drive, which was an old one. It was very simple, like it was the four colour graphics. but having too much fun on that. Didn't want to give up my go. It was getting closer and closer.
I remember test drive. We've all been there. Get a Lexus.
Yeah. Or a he might have had the Lexus. Yeah. And it was having too much fun. You could feel the pressure building up, and I thought, I've got to go now.
Yeah.
And just left it.
You could feel the pressure in your mouth.
You know when you go to the, you've got to go to the toilet, and you get to your front door.
I'm not familiar.
Always the minute you get to the front door, where it just wants to go.
See him come to life.
I know, it's wonderful.
I shouldn't be trying to help you guys, but see him come to life when he starts talking about pissing all over his friend's floor.
Yeah, so
like it's just the
up
true.
The hallway.
So and how old were you then? The test drive incident.
Oh, so it would have been the same. I reckon 10.
Yeah, right.
And peed all over the floor. And I know their toilet had one of those chain flushes. That was the big feature of his house.
The big feature, the number one.
Yeah, they moved into a new house, and I remember his mum, Nolene, said, you might want to go and show Dave the
flushy.
The flush.
Nolene's very proud of the chain. Yeah.
She did. She loved the chain.
After your presence, the new feature was celebrity smell.
So I had to say to his mum and dad, I remember going to his mum and dad and said, Nolene, I think I might have pissed all over your floor. I did piss all over your floor. You might just want to clean that up. I was always in trouble.
Where was this?
It was in Melbourne, the suburb. It was like sort of Cheltenham, I think, somewhere like that. Yeah. I was always in trouble with them. I remember I got in trouble with them for drawing explicit pictures.
Where?
On pieces of A4 paper.
Well, at the party?
In urine.
No, this was a different time. I was going to Sean, showing him how it all works.
This is the penis, this is the mouth, this is the scrotum.
Was the sister from the same family too?
Yeah.
What have you done to these people?
Was the explicit picture you showed Sean was like, here's what your little sister's vagina looks like?
No, it
was, no he was showing
was
the
fully
p- his penis.
Drawn
not
a fully grown
no, it could have been, no, it could have been like a classic
show me yours. Mine.
They're the rules. No. They're the rules.
Almost a medical diagram that I'd done. Had majora, menorah, the whole lot, and saying this is how it works. And I heard
it's very believable when you say it had the whole lot, majora, menorah.
I showed him and said this is what it is. And I heard
admittedly you're mentioning parts that I'm not aware of.
Stuart, the dad, said I remember this. He said, oh, David, would you mind coming in here? And they said, they put the picture and said, what's this? And I said, I don't know, just drawing bits. Girls' bits, showing Sean the ins and outs of what goes on. And I only learnt it off, I don't even know where I learnt it off.
Just your dad walking from the shower. Yeah. Your mum walking from the shower. It's
enough. Yeah, so that was true. Getting in trouble for drawing, not rude pictures. Does Picasso get in trouble for drawing bits? Or
no, it's just anatomy.
Anatomy.
So, well, if Picasso was doing it, you wouldn't have been able to tell they were bits. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
So, Ben, you're locking in B.
I'm locking in B.
Steele, have you an answer?
I'm going for the little sister.
Little sister for Steele, so C.
You really look at me and think I would do that?
Oh, you're is that a bluff? Really, really fleshed out the tale,
Andy,
so to speak. Oh, gosh. I think I am... it's hard to know... I felt like each story you gave too much detail to, in so much detail, it felt unbelievable. But I think I'd go with showing your dad's dick to everyone just because you didn't flesh that out too much. Right. But it seems the least believable, and I hope it didn't happen. Nonetheless, A.
A for Andy. The correct answer was B. So Ben gets 3 points.
That's a lot of
points. But Dave, you get 2 points. Well done.
So, yes. I picked the one I wanted to be true, not to feel weird sitting next to him for the rest of the show.
Now, the reason A is in there, because that happened to a friend of mine at another friend's party. His dad came to pick him up, and his dad was a surfer and had just been surfing, so he was just in tracksuit pants and thongs and no undies. So my friend just went behind him and just dacked him, and his dad just looked down, and it seemed like about 5 seconds before he picked him self up, and it was like,
well, at that point, what's the hurry?
But he's like, he looked down, then looked at his kid, and we just kind of shook his head. And the other thing was, the friend whose house it was, both his parents were hearing impaired, so they couldn't. They were just in shock, and no one knew how they were reacting. And my friend Jeff, he wasn't translating what they were saying, And so it was just like this weird, weird thing where my friend Kynan was just, and his dad said to him, the last guy who did that to me, I broke his jaw. That was what he said. So, yeah.
Fair enough. Son.
I didn't remember going, talking of dad's bits, I went to a friend's party again, probably grade four or five,
for the show.
And we're all making too much noise. You know, it's late at night and they've all said go to bed, turn the lights out. So we're all in the lounge room, sleep. We're making noise and noise and noise. And then the dad came down wearing nothing and told us all off in the nude.
Yeah, that's
that
weird.
Was too much, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
I've
weird.
Thought about that since. At the time, I went, ooh. But since I've thought,
no, that's
why
weird.
Would you do that?
Yeah,
that's
weird.
Robe.
Why would you, yeah, why would you do that?
Like, put a hat in front of your junk. That's God. All.
Yeah, anything.
Fedora.
Whatever you want.
God, after that, I would have been quiet for the next few years.
No, we shut up. Maybe that was the technique. We shut up.
Okay, at the end of that round, the scores are Andy still on 1 point, still on two. Dave, you got back some there. You're on 4 points now, sweet. But Ben still on the lead on 6 points. Our next round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it is true, you say yeah. If you think it is a lie, you say nah. A point if you guess correctly, a point to the person the fact is about if you are incorrect. Now, you get these individually, so you don't have to worry about buzzing in. So the first one is for Steel. When Dave was recording a Toyota ad with footballer Tony Lockett, apart from on screen, the only conversation they had was about the TV show Ally McBeal. Is that yeah or is that nah? Now you can ask him as many questions as you want, but keep in mind he wants to get the point.
I don't know, I don't even know if it's worth asking questions because I was so blown away by his acting skills in the previous segment that I don't think I'm...
Please ask. It makes the podcast
better. You know who Tony Lockett is.
I know who Tony Lockett is. He played for St Kilda and then Sydney.
Yeah.
Which, that is an amazing bit of football trivia for me to know.
That is good, yes.
If anyone's listening from my podcast, they will be in shock. They would like seeing my father's penis after that fact. Now... What did Tony Lockett like about Ally McBeal?
It's more what didn't he like. I think he just kept going on about Calista Flockhart, that he just liked her because he said he liked because she was petite, I think was the word he kept using.
Tony Lockett saying petite.
Tony Lockett said
yeah, that sounds like
it's a very gentlemanly way of putting it. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
What he said about... Calista Flockhart.
Oh, so you're now paraphrasing what he said.
Yeah, because I didn't want to sit on the field, stays on the field, I think.
Tony
But this was on an advertisement, so that rule doesn't apply.
No, this was off.
Yeah, this was off screen. The only conversation they had off screen.
Times.
Okay.
He's got the whole box set. He now lives in Bowral, which is northern New South Wales. He's got three daughters, doesn't have a son. He said to me, I've got three daughters, didn't manage to put a spout on any of them.
Dave, I think you told me this. It was either you or I think a friend of mine who worked on this ad said that he drove from Bowral, shot the ad, got back in his ute and drove all the way back to Bowral in the one day. Just didn't, like, no.
That's don't such put me up in a hotel. Dad thing to do.
He doesn't like flying.
Just eating a cube of cheese.
Yes.
He doesn't like flying. He played for Sydney. He was flying every second weekend.
No, he hates flying, so he drove down. I think he drove down, they gave him a new car and he drove back in.
Oh, in the new car. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you'd do that then, wouldn't
and
you?
And he had a flannel and a gold Rolex. Yeah. That's what he came down. There's a lot of things you talk about.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And he also, he breeds greyhounds, and the way he does that is he has to masturbate the greyhound into a Chicken Tonight jar. So what it does is it bulbs up. He said, what it'll do, it'll bulb up in the jar.
In fairness, you can't get a Dog Tonight jar. So.
We can't, Chicken Tonight, and that's so...
But then it sounds like you did talk about tons of
other things.
Yeah,
you talked about other stuff.
Yeah, we talked about other stuff. But,
well... Can I have this one instead, please?
No, it still gets it.
I'm locking it a nut.
You're correct, it was a nut.
I should have fucking forgot. Oh, gosh.
Hey, it was all entertaining.
Why did you have to bring up the dog then?
I know. I
forgot about the rest of that bit there.
But did he, is that, he talked about his greyhounds?
Yeah, he didn't talk about anything with Bill. I don't know. I didn't have his, didn't call it petite. But yeah, he talked about it. Like, you, that's what he says. They'll bulb up into a chicken tonight jar because you can't, they can't get out of it. It's the perfect size for chicken tonight. And he collects it, and then he gets the.
Did it have, like,
microscope
have to be
out.
Chicken tonight? Is that a well, different shape to like Dolmio?
Best, oh no, he thought that was the best size.
They're big jars. They're the same size though as
well,
the Dolmio one.
So at the end of it, well, bulb. There's what he said. Bulbs up.
Oh gosh.
So once I think that's the whole technique of the greyhound. Right. Once it's like I think an echidna does the same. It's sort of once it's about to fertilize the female echidna, it flares it out so it can't. Pull
so
away.
Much talk about wangs.
And
some unlucky podcast listener has just decided they don't want to finish their butter chicken.
Yeah. Welcome back to Dad's Bits. Now, greyhound.
It's a thing. What do you call it? Animal husbandry. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
You've got to get the fastest
it
swimmer.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Should we be talking about it?
It's just nature. Like, this is what I'm... Yeah. We're all giggling. Like, what did you... Grow up.
Sorry.
Yeah. Wanking a dog into a chicken tonight jar. It's nature.
It is. No, it's not nature. We, you know, this podcast is gone a bit below the belt.
Here we go. It's not, we'll get it back on track. Here we go. Now, this is for you, Ben.
All right, this is for me. Who have I got?
This is about Steele. On Steele's first trip to Vegas, he found himself on the blackjack table and ahead $1,600 with, as a joke, he shouted his skateboarding buddies who were with him tickets to go see Celine Dion in Vegas. The tickets were $125 each. Is that yeah or is that nah?
Okay, how many... Your first trip to Vegas.
Yeah.
How many times have you been?
I can't count. I literally can't count. I used to go there for work all the time. So
okay.
This was the first time I went, though.
What kind of work? Skateboarding work?
Yes.
Right.
Importing products
into
our fine country.
How many friends were you with that you had to buy tickets to Celine Dion?
Three.
Okay, and was this at the Bellagio?
It was at the Colosseum.
Where was Celine playing?
In the Colosseum, at Caesar's Palace.
At Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been there, Ben, as well?
I've been to Vegas.
Okay.
What year was it? Sorry, am I allowed to ask a question?
You can ask questions, yeah.
What year was it?
It would have been... I'm not sure. It was more than 10 years ago. I judge everything by...
Star Wars release schedules.
No. Girlfriend slash fiancé. Right. So there's so everything past that, everything past that is just like, that was somewhere between 10 and 20 years ago.
Did she do Heart Will Go On? Heart Will Go On?
Yeah, she would have.
Okay. I got some questions about Blackjack, because we need to ascertain that you got $1,600 up first before
you're
we can.
Serious for your punts? You're well ahead, mate.
That's why he's got the.
How do you
points.
Think I got here, Andy?
Sorry,
wasn't luck, mate. You're on 18.
Yeah.
And do you hit?
Oh no way!
You never hit on 18.
Nah.
17.
Nah.
16.
I'd think about it. I'd look at the other. What else is happening on the table? It
sounds likely that you could be $1,600 up based on what I know about playing blackjack on computers on an Apple IIe. I'm gonna go yeah.
It was nah. Some of it was true though.
It was.
So he was $1,600 up in Vegas.
Okay. Well, see that was but you didn't buy Celine Dion tickets.
No, because I was by myself and my only friends were very strong margaritas. And I proceeded to gamble that away. I tried to dig up very fast to try win back my money, and I had all the amounts in 125 piles.
Mm.
So then I knew how many pairs of Air Maxes I could buy once I got back to LA.
Yeah.
And by the end of the night, I was down about three pairs of Air Maxes.
You had to give away Air Max.
Yeah.
To
and then I just,
casino staff.
And I was so hungover, I spent the next day driving through the desert to get back to the airport. Like spewing in a cup and pouring it out the window while people tooted going, yeah.
But you told me that you were so famous in there because you were the drunk Aussie guy. Everyone knew the drunk Aussie guy.
Yeah. Because at one point, if the dealer likes you in Vegas, they will help you a little bit because they get to see the car.
Yeah.
And at one point she's like, and I'm just at 110% loudness, and that is horrible for anyone. And she said, "Oh, I gave you a hint not to hit." And I went, Mate, in Australia, a hint's a punch in the face. And everyone's like, yeah! And then I went to another casino, because if you go to a new casino, you get a new round of luck. And
well known.
At that table, two groups of people came past and went, there's the Australian! The dealer's just like, oh my.
Okay, so for Dave, when Andrew was younger, he was at a party. At the party, he was playing with a dog. When it happened to lick him...
No more dogs!
When it happened to lick him on the face.
Yeah.
Seeing this, a girl came over to him and said, shouldn't I be doing this? This was Andrew's first kiss. Yeah or nah?
Ask away. I'm an open book.
The home listener is missing some great facials from Andrew.
How old were you at the party?
I was 16.
16.
Mm. Good age to start. Am I right, guys?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Okay. Kissing dogs, yes.
So was there alcohol at the party?
Yeah.
Were you boozed?
Oh, I wasn't particularly boozed because when I was younger, I was actually quite religious at the time.
Okay.
And so although I would occasionally drink communion wine, but also, no, I wasn't massively. Okay. Some were.
How many people at the party?
Oh, it was a high school party, so big, you know, it was... Maybe 100, maybe? There's, you know those parties? There's kids everywhere, yeah.
Did you go to a mixed school, girls and boys?
No, I didn't. I went to an all-boys school.
So there were girls, obviously, shipped in?
There were. I was at Xavier. They were from Genizano, as is meant to be.
Uh-huh. So that's just down the road, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all the whole school thing. So my fault, I had to. Catholic rules.
Can you remember this girl?
Yeah, absolutely.
Had you seen her before, or was this the first time you'd seen her at the party?
Seen her before
on a bus?
No, she was friends. The only time she'd meet girls was like doing drama, and I did the Gilbert and Sullivan that year.
Uh-huh.
It was a production of Bunthorne's Bride, it's a Patience, which is great. That's the one about like Oscar Wilde and Walter Pater, sure. And they rock into this town. They're these poets, and they rock into this town, and all the girls' boyfriends are away, right? And then all the girls fall for these like dandies, essentially hipsters of the day,
right? Yeah,
and they're like, we love them so much. And then the boys all come back. They've all been in the army, and they're like, now the girls only want to get with hipster guys.
All right,
it's a great musical. Anyway,
so she was in that.
Nah. But she, like, I met some girls and she was a friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all sounding like it checks out. You'd never kissed before or had a moment together. Did this surprise you when she came up to you and said, maybe I should be licking?
We had been chatting earlier that night. And
that night.
We hadn't kissed before because it was my first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But we had chatted, flirted.
Flirted.
Know. Yeah. Teenage flirtation.
So for both of you, perhaps this was the night you were expecting something might have happened?
I think I was hoping
16-year-old boy, you're hoping.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes there's one girl that you go, oh, she's going to be there, I'm going
to
be there.
Can I jump in for one question?
I'd love you to.
When you kissed her, did you hear a voiceover from your adult self?
What, saying?
Like the Wonder Years.
Yeah, exactly. To everything turned. That was the day when I... Yeah. No, unfortunately not. But I did hear the voice of the dog just crying in the corner. Someone get that guy a jar.
So you said it was your first kiss. So
yes.
It happened and you said, yeah.
Oh, it was nice.
Go for it.
Like...
She said, shouldn't I be doing that? And you said, yeah, you should.
Oh, I think...
What'd you say?
Yeah, I think I just kind of like her and I laughed because I was like, don't stuff this up in any way. Yeah. Just play along and what a funny she just did. So
get into it. Okay.
Yeah.
I reckon this happened. I reckon you got some kissing action that night.
You are correct.
Hey!
A point there for Dave.
Yeah.
Kiss, first kiss.
And a point for me. Mm. Well, I mean, not... Actually, but you know, in my life.
Yeah.
It was great.
Did you wash your face before kissing the girl?
Yeah,
no, that was the thing. No, she didn't. I thought you'd ask that question. Yeah, that was the only thing that concerned me. But the dog, like, I'd just been playing with the dog and he, you know, licked my face a bit. I guess you get over it, don't you? When you're a kid,
you could have got worms in her mouth or something, you know, from kissing your face.
She could have.
A school party, though, would have been alcohol, would have washed it out, would have been fine.
True. Yeah, covered my face in meth, as I always do.
Okay, here is our final one.
Okay.
It's for Andy. Now, Ben's old band Klinger supported Green Day at Festival Hall in the year 2000. Backstage, Green Day drummer Trey Cool pulled Ben aside before he went on, this is before Ben went on, and told him quite earnestly while touching his face that he has very soulful eyes. Yeah or nah?
Well,
I'm just giving you soulful eyes over
yeah,
the microphone.
Yeah, you certainly are, and they're penetrating me. That is Trey Cool. all right, great. Your Klinger supporting in 2000.
Mm.
When did Klinger break up again?
2004.
Uh-huh.
Three, actually. 2003.
What was your big hit in 2000?
Hello, Cruel World.
Yeah, right. No. how'd the crowd react? Were many people there to see you, or like, did they get into it?
It was mixed. Sydney, we played with them in Sydney at the Horden Pavilion and Melbourne at Festival Hall. And being from Melbourne, the Melbourne crowd was stacked with friends and stuff. So I think we had a few comp tickets because I think we only got paid $500 for each show. That included flights to Sydney. So we lost money supporting Green Day. But so we had friends in Melbourne and they were holding up Klinger signs and stuff. And we felt
I
all
hear
good.
That Green Day lost money actually supporting you. giving you
that was later on. Yeah. But in Sydney, our bass player, Dave Rogers, got hit in the head with a shoe. So it was a bit wild. You know, it was punk rock in those days.
That's predating George W. Bush.
Yeah, it was pre that. But, you know, we did okay. We did okay.
Yeah right, cool.
Yeah.
You're backstage just hanging out.
Yeah.
And up comes Trey Cool.
Yeah.
And what instrument did he play again?
He was the drummer.
Right, sorry. Yeah, cool. He said he had very soulful eyes.
Yeah.
No, it's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. Yes.
Did he grab your face
and look it right into it?
It was
sort of
there was like he put his one hand on the side of my face.
Ooh.
It was funny because they made time for the bands. Green Day were, you know, they were trying to keep in touch with their punk roots. And also, I think the album wasn't doing very well at that point. It was like in between Dookie and American Idiot. Yeah. So the album they were touring was called Warning, which I don't think you could probably name a song off that one. So they made time to meet the bands, to meet the support acts, and they handpicked us and all that kind of stuff. And so they like, you know, it was like they had it in their schedule, like half hour. Hang out with the, you know, they did nice stuff like the bass player.
It's like you want a Fox FM call.
Yeah, it was a lot nice. Like that. And the bass player is like talking to our bass player. He's like, oh, what kind of bass you play? And Dave's like, oh, an Ibanez. And he's like, oh, what's your spare? He goes, I don't have a spare. Spare bass. What could we? You think I'm made of money? And he goes, you don't have a spare? What happens if you break a string? He's like, I don't know. So the bass player, Mike Dernt, said, hey, to his tech, make sure they've got a spare bass tuned to E side of stage, and the bass tech stood side of stage with the bass watching us the whole time. It was very strange. But then
didn't use it.
Didn't break a string. He never broke a string. Yeah. But so they had, it was almost like these little set piece kind of things. And so then Trey Cool came up to me, and I thought he was going to talk about, you know, gear or like, you know, we were kind of like self-managed and unsigned and stuff. And he just put his hand on my face and said, you have soulful eyes, and walked away.
And then said, do you have a spare?
Yeah. So what are you unlocking, Andy?
Look, it's a beautiful story. And there's, it really is, don't you think? It's touching.
Mm. Soulful. Mm.
And there's so much of the stuff you've said around it's definitely true that I am just going to put my heart in your hands and say, yes, it's true.
It is nah.
Oh, God!
No, that means he gets another point.
So much is true, but the soulful eyes didn't happen.
Everything else is true.
I know, because you chucked it in amongst everything else. You made this consistent salad of of truth with one tiny cherry.
Sorry, I feel really bad. I would have liked it if you touched my face.
So at the end of that round, Andy, you're still on 1 point. I'm afraid. Still, you're on 4. Dave, you're on 5, but on 7 points is Ben. But don't worry, we can get it back. Our final round is called Who, where we have 10 questions about you guys. You guys are the answers to each of them. You can't vote, or you can't answer the one that is about you. You get a point if you get it right, you get a point off if it is incorrect. So that's the only time you can actually lose points. So here we go. Who said his worst ever job was playing Sid the Sun Smart Seagull?
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Andrew.
It was Dave, so a point off there.
Yes. Gotcha. Your empire is crumbling.
Sniffed out the cheese.
I now feel it's like three against one here. What do you have to do with Sid the Sun Smart Seagull?
My friend was working at Swinburne Uni, and they needed someone to dress in the suit, the seagull to hand out the sunscreen. And it was just
bad place to be a seagull because I just got attacked and the head was stolen and I was thrown around.
Did you have to pay for it?
For the suit?
Yeah.
It belonged to the uni.
The thing is, if you needed sunscreen, you just take it. It doesn't have to come from someone dressed as a seagull.
I think it was part of the SunSmart thing. You just needed the walk-around suit. It was, and it stank.
Don't you think a seagull handing out sunscreen, it could be mistaken for bird shit? Like...
I didn't market it. I just jumped in the suit. It was $50.
Why did you get involved in this flawed campaign?
Cash. $50 cash.
Oh, yeah. Money. Yeah.
The only worst place to get sunscreen would be from the cum den.
or Tony Lockett.
Or the mouth. Oh. Okay, our next question. Whose first job was a butcher's assistant? Whose first job was a butcher's assistant?
Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Andrew.
It was Ben Birchall.
I was going to say Ben. You pressure me by looking at me like that.
Me or Ben did?
You did. You were going, sorry. Come on, I need an answer. And I was thinking about it. I just need to get my name and I've lost a point.
So much looking, Josh.
Next question. Who once worked on a Christmas tree farm? Who once worked on a Christmas tree farm? Yes, Andrew.
I'm just going to say Steele.
You are correct. It was Steele.
Because there's been nothing about him yet. Playing the odds.
Was it just a summer job?
It was just a Christmas job, and it was brutal.
What did you have to do?
Drag Christmas... And I was like 18, and I was with men, and it was like being on a prison, like in the orange suits, except we were in glitter suits or something. And we had to cut down Christmas trees up the hill. And my friend Clint was an apprentice there, so he got me the job. But because he was like had the sweet job, he had a Jeep and he'd just drive past me waving, which made it even worse.
And an apprentice what?
Christmas tree farmer or something.
Is that like
an
you
elf?
Can do?
But he he quit to become a rock star. So that works out. Did that was a Christmas present. Yeah. He did.
Mm. He's in something for Kate.
There you go.
Good on him.
Next question. Who once followed a girl to Paris only to discover she'd started dating an ex-military sniper? Who did that?
Steele.
Yes, Steele.
Andrew.
It was Andrew. Yes, you were correct. Point for Steele.
Because he's a fucking romantic, this one.
Yeah.
Certainly am.
City of Love. What happened?
He was an ex-military sniper, and he was a cop by then. And at first he was actually really kind of mean to me, because it was that whole awkward thing. She had gotten together with him just before I got there, and it was almost as if like she got scared that she'd finally urged someone to... I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, I felt like Buzz Aldrin, just so second place, just getting in there. I turn up, and... At first, we were eyeing each other off, but over time, she felt awkward about the fact that I was even there, and so she didn't speak too much. And then he and I got along like a house on fire, and we had the best time. And when I left town, it was like, hey, you took me to the airport and everything. And we're still friends.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're broken up, obviously.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to her in ages.
Yeah.
But you two are together now. So
yeah, we certainly are. Paris. It's beautiful, international. Trey
has
cool.
Has he shot someone? Has he shot someone?
Tons of guys. Yeah, tons of dudes. Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah, at my beckoning.
Next question. Who got their first underarm hair in grade 6? Who got their first underarm hair in grade 6 and told me about it? There you go.
Steele.
Yes, Steele.
I go with Ben.
It's not Ben. It is Dave Lawson.
Wow. You're so hairy now. I'm just trying to think. Is grade 6 or later, or is that early?
I don't know. I remember finding it. I had my arm hanging off a tree and someone said, what's that there? And I said, nothing. And then you put your arm... There's nothing. And then I went straight home to check and checked out. It was a hair attached under there.
Big real day. Man.
It was a beauty.
And it's still with me to today.
It might be, but now I'm getting the... So my theory on the greys is these are the first hairs that grew out of my face and they're the first to go...
I'm glad you threw in face because it's a podcast.
Now, Dave is pointing at his chin.
Chin. Yeah,
that's where I've got grey as well.
Yeah,
but that's not the first hair that grew on my face. I had these little bum fluff bits on the side, on my lips, the corners of your mouth.
Well, that's mine falling apart. My theory falls apart.
Yeah. But I only got grey in my beard once I started shaving in the shower without shaving gel.
Oh.
And like a week after it was grey and I thought, is that connected? And it's too late now. It's too late.
In the shower, you say?
Yeah, I shave.
With a mirror in the shower?
Yeah, a little mirror. Okay. And the water, because it opens up your pores. Yeah, you don't even need the gel. Well, that
opens
helps
up
too.
Your pores too, yeah.
You don't use gel.
No,
the steam on the mirror.
No, you just because you rinse it under the water.
Got it.
And you don't really need to see, apart from your sideburns and your neck. That's all you really need to see in the mirror for.
Yeah.
You just take everything off.
And then you can just trim up when you get out, just a little extra.
I mean, it's probably not the most water-saving way to shave, but that's...
No, it's
behind the shower curtain.
What a great idea.
Actually, seems so much. Like the best way to waste
what water. What else can you do? Heaps of stuff in the shower.
Tons.
I was thinking about a little tea bag.
2 minute noodles.
You could put in the shower head, like tea.
I'm not teabagging with you.
No. You could unscrew the shower head and put tea in it and then screw it back on and drink tea.
That is a great idea. Well, you know, drinking
it's only
water.
Like a 45 degree cup of tea. That's no good. Yeah,
that's fine by me.
No, tea's got to be hot. It's got to have it like
look,
boiling.
We're all different, mate.
Not quite boiling, actually.
Just 98.
98, because if it's wet. Boiling, it bruises the leaf. These are things you learn.
Or maybe you sort of shower in tea, or you could... Or maybe it's an invention where you put things in the shower head and you can shower yourself.
Barocca.
Well, Barocca. I drink a...
Yeah, Barocca in there.
I drink a lot of water in the shower because apparently... Warm water is the most hydrating of all.
Yes.
Cold water, you don't really absorb that much.
Really?
And I love it. But then my partner, she was freaked out. She thought I shouldn't be just drinking water coming out of the shower head. There can't be anything wrong with it.
I thought.
And
I
he got out his sniper rifle.
Oh, she's long gone.
I think it's because of what, the calcium buildups or something? I don't know. I drink it. I love it.
It's delicious. Yeah, me too.
I just exclusively drink out of the shower head.
That's where I get all my tea from.
Next question. Whose best friend in primary school shot urine into their mouth?
Oh, me.
Yes,
Steel. I'm going to go with Ben.
It's not. It's Dave Lawson. Yeah. Oh,
once again. Dale Pollard.
Shot it in. Shot it.
Yep.
How?
This is why he doesn't mind drinking out of the shower. He's had
I'm rethinking it now.
Full mouthful, and it was not... We didn't talk about it beforehand. Because there was a movie called The Boy Who Could Fly. We went to see that in the cinema.
Great movie.
Yep,
and
great film.
Where there's
catches the ball in front of the girl's hand?
Yeah, catches the ball in front of her
face. And so what was the deal? I can't fly. What other skills do I have?
Piss in my mouth. There's a scene, there's a kid at the end, the bullies are coming after him. They said, well, we're not afraid of a water pistol. And he goes, water, it's piss.
And it's Fred Savage playing the role of the little boy.
Yeah, right. The little boy on the little tricycle. So he squirts in the water pistol. So we went home. My mum and Charlie Pollard, I feel like I'm trying to not lie, but this is true, but they were having tea inside, so Dale had one of those water pistols. It's just one of those where you pump it in one hit, like it's not a squirter. Yeah. You just sort of give it the whole... So he was pissing in it, and I thought this was so funny. I was laughing, and he's just turning on, bam, and the whole thing went in my whole mouthful of warm urine.
Okay, I thought Dale had pissed in his own mouth.
He pissed
in your mouth.
No, he shot his piss in my mouth.
Oh. Yeah.
And thus begins your love affair with warm water.
Maybe. It was not great. I didn't swallow. I spat it out straight away and then told Mum as we were driving, I said, Dale's wee went in my mouth just in case, because you're not sure.
In case you died.
We might need to.
Yeah.
Yep.
And straight to the hospital.
She was laughing so much.
Classic case of urine.
Tell Charlie that Dale weed in my mouth and they both laughed and we drove off.
Well, you know, it's sterile. That's what
right.
people forget.
Mm. Only your own, though. Other people's in your mouth isn't sterile.
Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone's sterile is a state. Either something's sterile or it's not. It's not sterile for you.
Sterile for you. Yeah.
It's
not. That's why whenever people get, you know, like they want to change the cover on the toilet seat and all that and put it on a plastic thing, just sit there. You can't get anything from sitting on the same place that someone else's ass has been.
Mm.
It's all just skin. Or urine?
Yeah. I was like, I can remember it now. This was about grade 3 as well, I think, when that movie came out. And it's, you know what, it's got a taste. You never forget.
Salty?
You've been listening to Josh Earl's pea party.
It was. This has turned into a pea party.
Okay, next question then. Who judges people on whether they like Seinfeld or not?
Oh, Andrew.
Ace Andrew.
Will that be Steele?
That was Steele,
yes.
Although it could be a lot of people in this room, but it was Steele who actually said it.
I know you so well.
Okay, next question. Who, as a child, once ate 25 satay sticks? Who, as a child, once ate 20... Yes?
Ben.
It was Ben, yes.
Yeah, I reckon.
His taste for Wang Wang.
He ate a satay stick for every point he ended up with on the show.
25. How old were you?
I was 7.
Oof.
And it wasn't the only thing that I'd eaten that night. We're at a buffet. It was in Indonesia. It was at the Mandarin Hotel in Jakarta, and it was, you know, like a fancy buffet.
Wow, this was a big night for you.
It was a big night. I'm like, it was probably maybe the first buffet I'd ever seen in my life. You know, that wasn't.
You never forget your first.
You
buffet.
Never forget. And so I was just like, there was a guy like with a little hibachi, you know, grilling satay for you as you know. And put it on your plate. And this is the best thing I'd ever seen. And my parents obviously weren't keeping an eye on what I was doing. And at one point, Mum looked over and there was just a stack of 25 satay sticks on my plate. She goes, "Where'd you get all them?" And I went, "I ate all the satay." She went, "How do you feel?" I said, "Not very good." I was sick for days.
It would have looked like you played a giant game of kaplunk in your tummy. But any food on a stick, delicious. Yeah. Go with it.
Yeah, I'm just going through my head and going, that's true. That is true. Okay, next question, speaking of food. Which of you have a fear of fruit? Who has a fear of fruit?
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
Steel.
It is not. It is Andrew.
Oh. Hey, I can man up to a banana. Don't worry.
I had a traumatic fruit incident as a child, and I just can't go near it.
What happened?
Well, my parents used to make this fruit mash called sludge.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
End of story.
Fruit, okay, what fruits go in sludge?
No, just whatever was to hand, you know. So
it's like a smoothie.
Apples, bananas, pears, whatever. Yeah, but it was before the days of smoothie. Right, you know, they just mash it up with essentially a potato masher, I think. And I loved it, apparently, as a kid. But one day there was some bad fruit or something. And, you know, I was so sick from it, I had to go to hospital and everything. Since then, I can't even, I can't go near a piece of fruit. And
how do you get your vitamin intake?
Veggies. Oh, I'll have myself fresh veggie.
Okay.
I mean, this pile of caps comes right in front of me. Yeah.
I was wondering about them.
Okay, our last question. It's all down to this one. Here we go. The final question of the first season of Don't You Know Who I Am. Here we go. Who has made a music video in the Czech Republic?
Dave.
Oh, I heard Dave. Yes, Dave? Andrew. It was Andrew. Yes, you are correct, Dave.
Talked about Europe a lot, been to Europe, well-travelled.
Oh, you know me well.
Yeah.
Was it
you saved your point there. I thought the rock star at the end.
makes sense too.
Who
was it for?
It's for a French-speaking Czech indie pop group.
So it wasn't for your, it wasn't your own sound.
No, it wasn't my sound.
That is a massive section in JB.
They're called Mew Mew. Yeah. And one of the guys on the shoot, we sort of were shooting this tiny country town, and I was just asked to dance on the music. That's all I had to do, which was fun. In fact, someone came up to me, because I did Edinburgh that year, and someone came up and said, do you want to come to the Czech Republic and dance in a castle for 2 days, and we'll pay for flights. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not an idiot, of course. So we filmed this thing, and this guy started following us on a tractor whilst we were going around the town with the gear and stuff. And he asked if he could be in the video, and we said yes. And then we all had a party. He got terribly drunk and wandered into the forest. And the next day, he hadn't come back, and I had to leave. But people were saying to me, you know, that guy, Czech Republic has the biggest forests in Europe, sort of wild forests. And there are man-eating pigs in them, and we're genuinely worried that he has been eaten by a pig.
Did you?
And I never found out if he had or not. So, yeah, mysterious.
Is the film clip up on YouTube?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's called something in French.
Miam,
Le Don 668. Yeah, M-I-O-U, M-I-O-U.
M-I-O-U, M-I-O-U.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. He's wearing fluoro track pants and a blue puffer vest.
It's called Le Snipper du Love.
I think we've just uncovered the second season of Serial right here. Yeah. What happened to the pig guy? So at the end of the game, the scores are Andy on 2 points. Mm-hmm. Steel, 4 points. Mm. Ben on 5 points, but our winner comes from Ireland.
Oh!
Dave on 6 points, one with the final question of the game.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
There you go.
It hurts.
You lost 2 points there.
Yeah, to a guy who gets pissed in his mouth and shit.
Well, really? Isn't it good that he's
old
won
piss
this
mouth,
now?
Lawson.
It's all right.
Old pissy mouth.
It's all right.
Yeah, good. Good. Sterile.
Pistering.
Sid the Seagull.
Good science. It's science, mate. Science can't argue science.
Thank you all for playing Don't You Know Who I Am. Thanks to everyone who's been downloading. Before we go, we'll plug some things. Has anyone got... we'll plug your podcast.
That would be great. I do two podcasts. One's called I Love Green Guide Letters, and we review the complaint letters to the Green Guide. And we just had our 150th episode yesterday with Peter Hitchener, Channel 9 newsman.
Yeah.
And there's other new episodes up with Jane Kennedy from Working Dog, and... we just did a live one with about 30 listeners with Will Anderson, Limo, and Justin Hamilton in my apartment. So that's free. And if you're into Star Wars, I do another podcast about Star Wars, joking around about it, called This Isn't the Podcast You're Looking For. And you can get that at starwarspodcast.net.
And I highly recommend listening to Steele's reaction to the first, or the trailer for the next Star Wars film. It's on there. You've got it on your website separately?
Yeah, and it's on the Facebook as well. Yeah. Someone... we did the podcast while watching it, the teaser for the first time, and then someone synced that sound with the teaser, so you can find out what I'm
Yeah.
And
I must say, don't play it at work without headphones on because people will come going, what are you looking at?
Yeah, it's shades of RedTube.
And you're doing a show on the Comedy Festival next year as well?
Yeah, called Bittersweet, and I'll be doing the live podcast every week as well.
Cool. Andy, what do you got coming up?
I've got a new club opening up, a new club night. Called Yeah Yeah, which will be at the Royal Melbourne Hotel, the former prison down there near Spencer Street Station. That's going to be on the opposite Friday nights of my other nightclub, which is Vincent McClellan's Finishing School. So lots of sweet pop music action. In Adelaide, I'm doing a new DJing show called DJ Phone Home, which is just a big old party show. And in Comedy Festival, I'm doing a show called Overdressed and Underwhelmed Stand-Up Comedy Pleasure. Lots of Trilby facts. I know my hats.
Nice. Now, Dave, well, yes, because you're in the film The Mule, which people can...
Great idea, of course.
You play Cheeky Graham.
Yeah, there's a Angus Sampson, Lee Winnell, and lots of other people have put together a movie called The Mule, which wasn't released in cinemas. They wanted to release it online for everyone. So you can rent it, I think, from iTunes.
Yeah.
And when you rent it, I've rented a movie off iTunes. Has anyone done it? Mm-hmm. It works quite well. Mm-hmm. You just pay $4 or whatever it is, or $5, and once you press play, you've got 48 hours to watch it, I think. So it's gone.
It's really good. And Ben, what are you up to?
A Triple R show over summer. On Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8, a media show with Daniel Burt and Emma Buckley Lennox.
Sweet.
Which is probably going to be called Media Pie. We just had a meeting about that this morning, so if it's changed by the time you listen to it, that's the show I'm going to be doing.
Are you playing music
summer.
Still, Ben? Sorry, dude.
Duke
Batavia.
Playing.
You can see Duke Batavia if you're wondering what they look like on my chat show, which I haven't done for about 3 years. Backyard chat show. Dave's Shed Show.
And that's about the last thing we did.
Episode two. Yeah.
Are you still writing for Smith Journal?
Little bits and pieces for Smith Journal. Working for the company that published the 1000 City Guides as well. So I write a little bit for 3000, the Melbourne one. Usually Coburg related food articles. So if you want to know about the food in Coburg, I've got your back.
There you go. Thank you, everyone, for listening and downloading and sharing, and especially everyone who's been on the iTunes and putting positive comments. It's really, really cool. Thanks, everyone who's listened the whole season. We'll be back in about 8 weeks with a new batch of 8 episodes. And until then, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.